and the Beats with Jess Bowen and Bowie J.
Hello, Jess Bowen. It is Bowie Jane. It's Babes Behind the Beats, and we are broadcasting live from Mexico.
Well, you are lucky.
Yeah. Good point. Good point.
I'm still in Los Angeles, which, hey, I'm still lucky too, because I do love it here. But like you, what are you doing in Mexico? Tell us.
Yeah, so I am getting some dental work done because it's too expensive in America. And here it is like super high quality. And they're very professional. It's a third of the price, maybe like something that would be $400 here is $3,000 in America.
Yeah, it's so actually pretty crazy. I remember when I had to have like dental work done here, and it's like even with whatever insurance I was on, it was still like thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I was like, now I just don't even go to the dentist because I'm like, I don't want to know what they're going to tell me I have to get done and how much money I'm going to have to spend.
I know. And I had to have a wisdom tooth out and a baby tooth that had no tooth under it. Who cares? But it's gone now, the baby tooth.
So. Oh, my God. And you get to be in Mexico. So, like, heck yeah. I'm gonna have to, like, actually get some work done on my teeth. I'm going to find a reason to come down there, which I'm sure I have a reason. I'm sure there's probably, like, I have a cavity or something, but I'm going to be like, got to go to Mexico.
Yeah, oh, my teeth's hurting. Oh,
this feels sensitive. I should go get it checked out. Trip to Mexico. Here we go.
People will be like, again? Yes, again. Yeah, but it's, like, it's all-inclusive here. It's on the Caribbean coast.
Oh,
so it's beautiful, warm weather. And, like, the service is unbelievable.
Lucky.
And it's super cheap.
Ugh, I am so jealous of you. It's just like, first you're in like Hawaii on the beach. Now you're here in Mexico on the beach. I'm like, take me with you.
Yeah, so today we will be having a little chin wag about some exciting news. But before that, after that, we will be talking about, Jess and I are going to have a good old chat about the music industry. We want to talk about things like, what's required for live production for shows these days, and also in-ears, the development of in-ears and their sudden popularity.
Yes.
Which
yes.
I am curious about.
Yes. Yeah. We've got some interesting things to dive into. But before we do that, Bowie, you have some exciting news for us.
Yes, I do. My brother had a baby. Woo!
Yes!
I'm an auntie. Yay!
You are an auntie. First time auntie, right?
That's right. apart from my nephews through partnership. So yes.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Oh my God. Tell us about this. I want to know all about it.
So my brother, Andrew, and his fiance, Adam, they have had through a surrogate. They've had a baby, which is just a bloody miracle.
That's amazing.
They bought an egg from the World Egg Bank, which is a whole process. You know, you can see a photo of the person. What they're into, their hobbies, any medical issues, blah, 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 and you choose your egg. Then the egg gets flown to Australia. And in Australia, you can't pay for a surrogate. So you have to have a friend or someone, a family member who will be a surrogate. And then the egg is, I guess the sperm is put into the egg.
Right.
Clearly, I know.
We know that. We're like, both of us were like, well, how does it work again? We clearly don't have kids.
Like there's a sperm and there's an egg, and they get put together, and then Bob's your uncle.
The birds and the bees, right? Yeah.
And then that gets put in the, I don't really know anything about this. This gets put in the stomach, I guess. Whatever. This is sounding really dumb. You might have to cut this out.
No. This is great. This is great because, I mean, it just shows we literally don't know anything about being pregnant.
No, we don't.
Because I don't either. And like, not even just that. It's just this whole process in general because your brother and his fiance had to go through this specific process in order to have a child together. It's like, it's just so interesting to me because, you know, some people don't realize how much goes into that and also how like expensive that ends up being too.
Well, that's the thing. It's so expensive. And I think you buy 25 eggs, something along these lines.
Wow.
And they like one in 25 might work.
Whoa.
And then
you've
got to pay a whole lot of money for the next round of eggs. So
right. And then they had a friend, you said, who was their surrogate then? A friend of theirs?
Yeah, a friend offered and it's just – I am blown away by the generosity of this person. Like, who does that?
That's like so selfless to do that, to give your body for the 9 months and then to have to bear a child and then to be giving it up, essentially.
Yeah.
This is and for to have to, her friends.
The pressure, like, to make sure the baby's okay and be healthy and then go through the whole birth. And so my brother and his fiancée, they were in the room. Obviously, they've got weird lockdown rules in Melbourne at the moment, but they were able to be in the room. And so, and then they've got a baby. It's just crazy.
Oh, you're an auntie. What's the name of your nephew, right? It's a boy.
Nephew, Remy.
Remy.
Oh, Remy is already on radio.
Remy. What's up, Remy? Oh, I can't wait to meet him. I saw a picture you sent me and he looks just adorable. Looks so cute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So cute. And mum is like, it's her first grandchild and dad as well. First grandchild. So.
Are they just so excited? Are they like,
oh, yeah, mum. Like, mum's knitted about 400 things for it. So I've already sent two batches of clothes. There's a second batch on the way. So
you're already trying to put your, like, this is how he's going to dress. You're like sending clothes to be like, so we want him to be a little bit punk rock.
Yes, that's exactly it. I've already like got some really trendy stuff on the way.
That's incredible. I love that. I mean, you dress Billy, your dog, like amazingly well. So if you can dress your dog that well, I'm sure your nephew's going to look just perfect.
I found this great website because the Nervo DJs, they dress their kids from this website and they always look cool. So I was like, what brand is that? And everything on this website's cheap and cool. But
oh my God. I feel like that would be so fun. Like I don't know yet because I don't have, you know, a little niece or a nephew or anything running around. Well, I have on Lauren's side, we've got nieces, but like I didn't know them when they were growing, like as babies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I came into their lives, you know, 2 years ago, basically. But like, I haven't had like a little baby to like know from like when they were born and then get to like grow up with them, you know?
It's crazy. It's just so crazy. I mean, even that you can grow a human in a belly is just bizarre. So
yeah, clearly you and I were like, how does it work again?
Yeah. So I think when they do another one, they couldn't make her have another surrogacy. I don't know if they discussed it or whatever, but I think worst case scenario is they will be going to America to get a surrogate and you pay for that.
I was gonna say you pay surrogates here, and in Australia I guess there must be something where is it like illegal, like you can't actually pay a surrogate or something.
I think so, something along those lines. So.
Okay, because here you can get paid and it's like a lot of money to do it.
Yeah,
you get paid a lot of money to do that. So I mean,
it's so awesome that same-sex couples can now do this. You know, it's just amazing. It's a miracle. So luckily he's holding the flag for our family because I am not having kids.
You might change your mind, who knows. You might meet your little nephew and be like, you might get baby fever.
No, not gonna
happen. I know. I don't know if I'm going to have baby fever ever, but I never grew up thinking that I would want to have kids, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, never grew up like feeling like I need to have kids. And then recently I'm like, oh, I see like little babies around. I'm like, they're so cute. I'm like wondering if it's starting to hit me, like the baby fever of like it's starting to creep around. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, that will be interesting.
We'll see.
I've thought long and hard about it. I'm conscious as the years go by.
Yeah.
You're not having a baby, right? No, you're not having a baby. Definitely don't want a baby. I mean, I would if I was filthy rich, but.
Yeah. No, and I think that's fair to know exactly where you stand with it. If you know that you don't want to have one, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But congrats to your family. That's amazing.
Well, thank you. And so Jess and I, coming up next, we're going to chat about the music industry and where things are heading with live production. Jess, you know what time of year it is? It is coming up to, I can't believe it, Christmas.
I can't believe how fast it's going to be coming up on us, but if you're on a mission to be the best gift giver ever this year, it's never too early to start crossing off your list. Whether you're shopping for mom, dad, teenagers, in-laws, or your best friends, Uncommon Goods makes it easy to find remarkable and truly original gifts for anyone.
Yeah, Uncommon Goods wants your holiday season to be stress-free, which I'm happy about. And so check out their selection of thousands of items today. And one of the ones that I like in particular was the major scale musical wine glasses. No joke, this is Bond, I would love these. They have a line, so you fill the liquid up to a certain line, and it'll be, if you tap the glass, it'll be A or G or F or whatever. So I thought they were pretty, I mean, I've never heard of them before.
That's so cool and so unique, right? And speaking of glasses, I found these Hair of the Dog cocktail glasses. And, you know, obviously we like to have a beverage every now and then, right? So not only is it a cool cocktail glass, but it's called Hair of the Dog, which is funny. And there's little dogs printed on it, like different types of
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it says like Great Dane cocktail and like, I don't know. It's just super cute. It's very
cute.
Well,
don't buy it. I'm getting that for you for Christmas.
Oh, I cannot wait. Thank you. I mean, another really good one they have there for anyone really who likes to travel is the travel pillow too, which you can kind of use anywhere, you know, just, you know, really cool, useful things. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade in the U.S., and they have the most meaningful out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere.
And the cool thing is, with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million today, which is really great.
That's incredible. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/beats. That's uncommongoods.com/beats for 15% off. So don't miss out on this limited time offer just for our listeners. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
All right, we are back. Jess, Bowie, Babes Behind the Beats, we're back. And here, Jess, what the hell is that in your hand?
This drink?
Yeah, it's orange can. That's what we can see.
It's an orange can, and it is called Shell House Pumpkin. It's a spiked seltzer that I found at Trader Joe's. But look at how cute it is. I mean, it's that time of year, you know? I fall for everything pumpkin this time of year. Let's be real. I love the pumpkin spice lattes. We've got like pumpkin bisque in our closet, in our cabinet right now that I'm going to make later. We got these spiked pumpkin seltzers, and I've got pumpkin spice creamer. I have everything pumpkin right now.
It's so funny because in Australia, the pumpkin thing is not like, we do not do pumpkin season.
Yeah, I think it's a very... I don't know what to say. I guess I can make, I'm just making fun of myself. I don't want anyone to think I'm judging them for it, but I feel like I'm just so basic because it's such a like pumpkin spice latte. Like I literally get that every day when I go to Starbucks or anywhere I go that has pumpkin spice. I'm like, yes, that's it. This time of year, I just, everything that's pumpkin, I get it.
No, I am getting into it too because I don't mind like an event. So I'm like, okay, cool. It's getting to pumpkin season for Halloween or whatever. And so like at Trader Joe's, have you noticed everything. And this is the first year they've got those pumpkin something or other candles. And I just bought like 30 of them because last year they sold out at this time of the year. And the guy goes, oh, you like the candles? And I said, yeah. He said, yeah, they sell out straight away. And I was like, thank God I got all the candles.
I don't think I even knew they had the pumpkin candles. I need to go
back
and
get
them. But we got all of the pumpkin candles and there's none left for anyone. Sorry, everyone.
They're so cheap, but they smell beautiful. It's like vanilla, pumpkin, whatever.
Oh,
anyway,
oh
that is definitely not what we're talking about today.
No, it's not. But I just, we had to shout out the pumpkin. It's that time of year. So.
Now let's talk about the fact that it is getting back into gig season because we've had like a year and a half off with COVID. And one thing that I thought was interesting that I've noticed lately is every singer is using in-ears, or maybe every musician. And this did not used to be a thing. It used to be if you were doing stadium gigs, yes, you had in-ears because you're moving around a huge stage and you can't always be in front of monitors. You might not be able to hear yourself, and different musicians have different sounds coming through their monitor, you know?
Right.
But now I'm noticing someone's doing a solo acoustic gig and they've got in-ears.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a new world.
I mean, it's true. I feel like even when I first started touring, when our band, The Somerset, went out on the road, I mean, I think because obviously a lot of it has to do with budget. I mean, a lot of people don't have the money to spend on them, but it seems
we should explain what in-ears are for those who may not know.
That's true.
This is like little headphones. Jess has them in her ears now. The little tiny earphones that might be molded to your ear if they're good ones, and they sit right in your ear, and then you're hearing whatever you want into your ears so that you might want more guitar, more drums, more vocal, whatever. And that's so you can hear yourself when you're performing. But in the old days, you would just use the speakers going out into the audience. You would maybe be listening off that. So you just continue.
And it can feel a little isolating too, just so people know that, because they literally are molded. Like, right, if you look at my ears right now, they're specifically molded to my ear. So this won't fit anyone else's ear. Everyone's ears are different, right? But it's molded specifically so that you don't hear anything else happening. So if I literally only ask for like guitar and the vocals, like that's pretty much all I'm going to hear in my ears if I don't ask for anything else, you know what I mean, on stage. But yeah, I think, like I was saying, I feel like in, especially for our band, when we first started out, of course, like we didn't have any budget to have in-ears. And, you know, you rely on using the stage monitors. Plus we're playing, you know, smaller clubs. So I think at that time too, it's like, if you're playing smaller club gigs, it's okay. It was normal to use monitors. Like, who wouldn't use monitors? I think a lot of people still probably do, again, these days, again, based off of if they have the budget or not. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people cannot buy, like I said, these on the cheap end, they're like $1,000, I think, the molded ones.
And of course you can put any old in-ears in your ear, but you want a good quality so you get that feel that you're not, that you don't have the ears in even, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, even recently I just played with a new artist, Little Luna, who we actually had on our show. And it was her first show, like her first live show ever. And every single one of us in the band were on in-ears.
Yeah. It's amazing because, and I was wondering if you are only ever used to in-ears. So someone like her, she's using in-ears from day one. If the in-ears, if she has trouble with them, whatever, is that going to be weird for her trying to find the sound in the room? I know if I'm not used to in-ears, so I would walk out and just be in front of the speaker without it feeding back. I would work out a way to do it. Because I just know how to use the room. But do you not know how to do it if you're always on in-ears? Maybe it's not a problem.
Yeah, maybe. I will say that I feel like I have heard vocalists say that it's like hard for them to feel the like energy of a room, especially because like I said, it feels isolating if you have these in. And it's like you could have a crowd that's screaming. But to be honest with you, you might not hear that at all, unless you have, I think we talked about this a little bit earlier too, like crowd mics, right? Like having the crowd.
Yes, that's important.
Yes, because.
So a good sound engineer puts a couple of mics in the audience. This is what Bondi he does with his gigs. So, and he'll put a bit of the audience in your ears so that you're not feeling like you're in the bathroom.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's like really smart if people want that. And our sound engineers used to ask us, you know, who wants that. And usually it was just like our singer who would ask for it. Because for me specifically, like I feel like back by drums, I don't need to have an audience. Like I can still feel energy. And especially playing drums, like I'm just already have energy. So I don't need to have the audience in my ears to make me be like amped because I can like see what's happening and I can feel it.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I mean, it's like, that's a cool little trick that I think some engineers have picked up on to put in your in-ears. But yeah, I mean, like you just said, it's crazy though that like everyone these days, you're on in-ears. Yeah. Doesn't matter like what size gig you're playing.
Even here in Mexico, the cover band here, I was like, oh my God, the girl has in-ears. What the hell? Like this is just bizarre to me because you don't need it for the room. But I guess if you're used to it, it's cool.
So you're used to using the monitors. So how would you say you feel using, like, and explaining this to our listeners too, like, do you like using monitors? Because then you can you can still hear yourself in the monitors, obviously.
Totally. And like, obviously if you're singing like this, I'm talking about when I was singing, I would, you want to be able to hear yourself really well in the monitor. You may or may not want reverb on so that you know whether you're hitting the notes because the dry sound is going to be better. But, yeah, you want it pumping and you'll just have a monitor just for your sound. But, yeah, if it's a huge stage and you're moving around, that's a bit of an issue because you have to go back to your monitor to hear your sound. So.
Because other musicians on the stage that are using monitors have their own mix in their monitor. Exactly. So say the guitar player's like, I just want my guitar blasting so I can hear my parts. The bass player's like, I need my bass up. And if you go over to their section, you're just hearing what they're hearing, which is like just the guitar or just the bass.
And that's when you might need in-ears. But like I've always been used to still working around that. Like you go, cool, I'm walking all the way up to that end of the stage, can't hear myself, but I can hear enough coming out the front. Like, right. I could do it, no problem. But yeah. I think, yeah, if you're only used to in-ears, it could be a tricky thing. But
I think also, too, just because we're, like, just talking out loud about this, and, like, more things keep coming to my head about it, it's that these days I don't want to say everyone literally, but almost everyone are playing with tracks, with backing tracks.
And this
I think
is true.
We explained this before, right? Where it's like most bands that you see these days are not the 5, 6, 7 piece bands anymore. It's like 2, 3, 4 people max, right? That means that there's instruments that cannot physically be played by those only 4 people. So everyone uses tracks. And especially, you know, when you're in the pop world too, I mean, the production is going to be very track heavy because you just have, like, the way production has kind of grown recently. I don't know the word I'm looking for. I'm like blanking on it, but like the way it's developed yeah. is there's just sounds that like cannot actually be played by an instrument. No. Right. And you need to have those sounds live being played. So you people are playing to tracks, which is another reason why you would need in-ears. Because you need to be able to stay on time with these tracks. Because exactly. literally, if you get off and you're not on with the tracks, you're not. The whole thing is going to fall apart.
Totally. So I hate playing with tracks. I hate it. Like, I used to hate singing with tracks. Like, I'm used to live band, and that's why we can go, let's do another chorus. Woo! Like, and,
right. You know, like, no you're problem. Used to the, like, just jam and like, everyone just keep being like, oh, you want to keep playing? Okay, cool. Whereas, like, these days, it's like everything is very, like, mathematical.
Yeah, regimented.
It's very regimented. It's very like, here's this bridge that's going to be extended for this amount of time. And we're going to do like a crowd interaction part here where I'm going to sing and they're going to sing back. You know what I mean? Everything's so regimented. And yeah. And that's what's important about having in-ears because, yeah, you got to stay on time. So everyone exactly. in the band has to. Otherwise, it literally just leaves it up to the drummer being like, everyone has to stay on time with me this whole time. You know what
Look
I mean?
Look at the drummer. Fuck.
Yeah, which is normally right. Like you have to. The drummer holds it down. The drummer is the backbone. But it takes a little less pressure off if everyone else does have like the tracks and the click in their ears too. So they're not just looking at the drummer being like, oh shit, did we miss something? You know what I mean? Like
yeah, like we would always be like, oh, we're watching the bass player and the drummer, and we're gonna go bam ba da ba da and down.
Thank right, you could see like the movement and be like, oh, are we about to end? There's the ending.
And the drummer has raised her eyebrows. And we're gonna finish.
And
yes,
there's the wink. Okay, we're ending.
And we're gonna go again.
But there's like sign language.
For those who are wanting tracks, is obviously backing tracks. Just mm-hmm. Just to make that clear. Now, what are you doing for with the Somerset? Because you are going to be having your first gig for 5 years or 4 years.
Yeah, it's been almost five years. Wow. It's going to be like in January, it would have been 5 years, but we got added to this festival that we're playing. It's called Chain Fest and it's October 23rd in Irvine. We're playing an amphitheater and it's our first
show.
Huge
lineup, right?
Huge lineup. It's with Jimmy Eat World, Taking Back Sunday, Cartel, Mayday Parade. I mean, just all these bands that we've, you know, obviously a lot of them that we looked up to and like grew up listening to. And we have played some shows with them, like when we were a band before, but to come back and for this to be the first show that we're playing back is pretty awesome. So going into it, I mean, the production is going to be, we're going to try to keep it minimal because we are opening the festival. We're playing first. So we're like, we don't want to be putting too much, you know,
too
we don't want to
be
doing too much production. Like, so we don't yeah. want to have, like, we're just going to have like, as far as production, I mean, like stage production, maybe like we'll have like a backdrop. But like if we're talking about what people do live these days, I mean, when I talk about production, they're using like tons of lights. They've got stage setups, like where there's like scrims or where there's like, you know what I mean? Like pyro and shit like that. So we're just going to keep it pretty simple and probably just do a backdrop for this one. But, you know, we obviously will still all be on in-ears. You know, we have to have our crew, we're trying to keep it small too, just to keep our budget down. So we'll have a sound engineer and then a stage tech who's going to kind of do like the back line and also be tour managing, like just kind of doing both
of
those jobs.
So yeah. Your stage tech will do all the instruments?
So essentially it's like, because we're playing first, we're lucky that we get to keep everything set up on stage,
that's
right?
Good.
So it's like we get
do
the sound check,
and
then we
in.
Get to keep everything yeah. on stage. So because of that, we also don't need a big through because our instruments are just going to be up there already. So it's like, we'll help with like setting up the stage when we get there. And then our stage tech will do like the line check right before we have to go actually go on. And then he'll be probably, you know, clearing the stage for us once we finish the set.
Perfect.
And the sound engineer obviously is going to be working on all the sound in itself takes a very long time to get set up, especially when you're running tracks, which we do run tracks. So he's going to be focusing on that the whole time.
So you guys need to learn, like, have you got the tracks ready or?
Yes, the tracks, Steven makes our tracks, luckily because he's our producer. So he's got all the stems to make them. And he actually has sent over most of the songs to me because I'm kind of like making my live drum parts and sending them back to him to like kind of make base his tracks around too, that he's going to, make for us.
Yeah. So you're not playing over each other and stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's like a 40-minute set, so it's not too bad. It's like probably 7 or 8 songs that we'll play.
Perfect.
Yeah. But it's exciting. I'm so excited for it. And yeah, I can't wait.
And so what happens for rehearsals? You'll obviously be writing, preparing the tracks first, but then when will you start actually rehearsing it?
So a few days before, yeah, we're gonna start rehearsing like a few days before it and have like 3 rehearsal days where we really just lock in exactly what we're doing. And I mean, we haven't done it in 5 years, so we're like, we should get together and make sure this is perfect.
Yeah, my God, it's very exciting. And what about the cost of all this? Because you guys are doing it all yourself, so
yeah.
Yeah. Is there like rehearsal rooms? You have to pay for all of them.
Yeah, you got to pay, you know, for the rehearsal room. You're paying for the like I said, the crew that we're bringing out, which is why we're kind of keeping it to 2 crew members for this show specifically. You got to pay for, again, the production. So we're paying for like a backdrop.
Where do you get a backdrop?
Like, there's companies that make them. So we've had like a bunch of backdrops made for us before, but you know, we're going through a different company right now that did a bunch of our merch when we sold our limited merch stuff, and they're going to be doing our merch and our backdrop. So kind of keeping it all consistent.
Who does merch as well on the, when you're at the, would that be one, you guys all go out and sell your merch or?
So that's Venue Sell actually, because it's like a festival and because it's a huge amphitheater, they always do Venue Sell for like bigger shows like that. So they're going to take a big cut of it, of course. Whenever it's Venue Sell, it's also like they take like 20 or 25% or something like that.
Right.
But you know what? That's just what it is. And we know that that's what comes with the territory. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. Yeah.
So as opposed to your event in January, now you're headlining that. So this is different. You can't set up your gear after the sound check and leave it.
We're not headlining in January. We're direct support in January.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So for that one, we are going to have more crew because we will have to have people that are – there's bands playing before us and a band playing after us. So we have to have, you know, people that are going to be bringing our gear on stage, getting it set up. And normally setup time for stuff like that is like – sometimes if it's like a big enough festival, like you'll have 20 or 30 minutes, but – for something like that, I bet we'll have maybe 20 minutes max for like a changeover. And that's not a lot of time to get all the gear on stage and like sound checked again, like line checked is what they call it. And so to get that all done, so we have to have, you know, more crew members for that.
Yeah, well, that's so cool. So you have a lot of things coming up, and you also have the gig with Tessa Violet at the Roxy in October, which I will be at. Super excited.
Yes, I know. I'm excited for that show too. That's her headliner. And then we also have a show in Phoenix at the end of the month as well. So playing with Tessa for those couple shows. And so for everyone who's listening, if you want to keep up with what we're up to, follow us on our socials on at Babes Behind the Beats on Instagram and on Twitter. Or what are we on Twitter? Is it at Babes Behind Beats still?
Babes Behind Beats.
Okay, so at Babes Behind Beat on Twitter. So yeah, but just look up Babes Behind the Beats, follow us, and what we'd also love to hear from you. If you guys have any, we've got some great guests coming up, but if you guys have suggestions or anyone that you would love for us to have on the show, we would love to hear from you. So be sure to tweet us or Instagram us or whatever it is. Just get a hold of us. Let us know.
Thanks for listening.